Take your Bible, if you would, please, and make your way to the book of Acts. We'll start in the book of Acts, chapter number 20 tonight, Acts chapter 20. It is Bible study, so get ready to turn to some passages, and we will find our way around the scriptures this evening as we have begun a series that I entitled, He's Able. And we've been looking at the reminder, as we find in the scripture, all the way through from the book of Genesis, seems like all the way through the Bible, that God is continually reminding his people that there's nothing too hard for him, and that there's nothing that is impossible for God. And so as I began to meditate that thought and that truth, began to search the scriptures, I found that many places in the Bible, you will read verses that talk about our God is able. And I thought that would make a wonderful series as we finish the summertime and make our way into the fall. And so we began that 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, and then last week, I preached to you the message from the book of Romans, chapter number 4, that God is able to keep his promises. And we went to the life of Abraham, and we looked about how Abraham knew strong faith and trusting the Lord for that promise, and that God does keep his promises. And God keeping his promises to Abraham, God will keep his promises to us. God cannot break his promise. And so as we navigate our lives and we navigate life itself, it's wonderful as we come to these moments to find the promises of God so relevant in the Bible to our lives. I would submit to you and hope that you have some kind of Bible promise book or some kind of way to search what God's promises in the Bible for the certain subjects that you deal with or difficulties that you deal with or whatever's going on in your life, and learn how to claim those promises and stand upon those promises, trusting the Lord. And so tonight I want to continue with this series, and I want to preach to you a message that I've got from Acts chapter 20, verse number 32. At the beginning of the message today, this evening, I just want to give you the verse and the title, and then I need to build a foundation to the message. I submit to you that the message truth is one sentence, and it's not very deep, but it is very practical and very powerful. And I want you to, before I read it to you, I need to just put a little thought in your brain. Every time during this message that your brain says, that's too simple, I want you to meet that thought in your brain by saying, that is the Word of God. You understand that? So when your brain says, that is too simple, you're to meet it with, that is the Word of God. All right. Because I promise you, before I'm done, there's going to be some folks in the room that are going to say, that's just too simple. And I'm going to say to you, that's the power of the Word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse number 32. Paul is speaking here. Luke is writing. And Paul says this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Here's where you should take your pen, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I want to take that truth right there that Paul taught us, which in which it says, and God is able to build you up. And I want to speak to you tonight on that very subject. God is able to build you up. I've just given you the verse. I will give you the context of the chapter in just a few moments. I want you to understand what this word build means. Right beside that verse, the word edify. You will find in the Bible the word edify, edification, edifying. This is a word that you find in the New Testament. I'll show you some of the passages where you find this word. The word itself, edify, as it's translated here in the English, does mean to build. It carries with it the idea to build a house. Literally, when the Bible says, and God is able to build you up, that word can be used to build a house. Metaphorically, that word build or edify is used throughout the New Testament in the building or the promotion of spiritual character. So you find in the Bible, you will find this word as it is translated to build or to edify. It is to strengthen. It is to build a fortress. It is to erect something in a stable position. The promoting of a spiritual character. This is that word. Pastor, how is this word relevant to me? I have been in the ministry for 24 years. I find recently, as I have been a pastor for 13 years, that I spend a very large part of my time building up people. I meet people that need to be, and maybe this is you tonight, you have something called low self-esteem. You would be amazed at how negative the human mind can be toward its own person. I speak with a lot of people, and maybe this is you tonight, they battle low self-esteem. They think themselves to be inept. They think themselves to be worse than everybody else. They think themselves to be unequal. They think themselves to be negative. They think themselves to be failure and everybody else is success. You would be amazed if people really communicate what they think about themselves, how negative that comment can be. I find people that constantly need to be built up in their emotions. They really have built their lives on their feelings. We say they wear their emotions on their sleeves. They don't know stability too often. They live in a world of extremes. When they're up, they're up. When they're down, they're down. They're driven by their emotions. And if they're not built up in their emotion, then they live a deflated and defeated life. These are folks that sulk. Maybe you're a sulker. These are folks that sit on their couch and they just are there. They build these little fantasies in their mind. I deal with people that need to be built up in their hope. They have no hope. They just believe that their present condition is their final condition. They just think they're never going to know victory. They're never going to know success. And so they live life in a defeated, hopeless position. I meet people that need to be built up sometimes in their energy. Pastor, I just don't have any energy. I have no drive. I have no vision. I have no reason to go forward. Every day is the same. I deal with people that have to be built up in their encouragement. They can never sustain their own encouragement. One of the great verses of the Bible is that David learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. My friends, if you need someone else to always encourage you for you to know encouragement, you're in big trouble. Because I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but people are idiots. I should get an amen there. So am I preaching to somebody tonight where you have no self-esteem, no self-worth? You feel like a doormat. You're destroyed in your emotions. You battle your emotions. You're driven by your emotions, controlled by your emotions. Hopeless. Not a lot of energy. Suffer from encouragement. I find constantly that I'm building people up. When I read this verse, It was such a joy to me to be able to bring you a message tonight. By the way, you will find that this thought, it permeates the New Testament. The thought of building up or edifying. You will find as you read in the book of Romans, and I'll just give you a bunch of scriptures here. We'll turn. Make your way to Ephesians 4 while I'm talking. Hold your hand here in Acts 20. We're coming back. But go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 4. In the book of Romans, we are told as a church body and as a family that we are commanded to edify one another. We're to build one another up. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, look if you would at verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he," that's the Lord Jesus, "gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers," that would be me, a pastor and a teacher. "He gave these to the church," watch this, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the," what class? "Edifying of the body of Christ." So really and truthfully, a pastor's job, as he perfects and he trains and teaches the people, is so that the body can be built up as a whole and as individuals. Look if you would at verse number 16, same chapter. "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself," in what? In love. We find that word edifying again. In verse number 29, this is three times in one chapter. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." So we find that the thought of edification or building up is one that was so needed in the church that God sent leadership in the church to define this. Make your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I know I'm moving fast, but I'm moving fast through a part of the message that I can move fast. And if in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is the great chapter on tongues. This is the great chapter on the gifts of the Spirit. You will find six times in this chapter, you find the word edifying or to edify. Verse number 3 speaks about, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification." Verse number 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." So here we have a distinction between the responsibility to edify the church as opposed to exalt oneself. Verse number 5, you find that word edifying again at the very end of that verse. Verse number 12, you find that we may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse number 17, "For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." Verse number 26, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto," say it class, "edifying." I think God's pretty interested in the edifying of his church. Come if you would to the book of Acts. Come to chapter number 9. You were in Acts chapter 20. Come to Acts chapter 9. This will be the last one I'll take you for just a moment here. God gives the responsibility within the church to edify one another. What does that mean? That means this. Inside this body, you and I are to build each other up. It's horrifically painful to be torn down by an unbelieving world, but it is doubly painful to be torn down by believers. Okay? And so God understood the need for there to be the building up and the edifying of the church corporately. He also understood the need for there to be the building up and the edifying of us individually. We have a responsibility to build up, to strengthen our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. Acts chapter 9 shows us, verse 31, the fruit of what edification can do. This, in verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest. This is after the apostle Paul is saved. Throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. Verse 31, and were, what's our word? Edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were what? Multiplied. Okay? So, as the church is to be edified, and as we are to edify one another, the evidence of that building up corporately is that we begin to walk in the fear of the Lord. There's a comfort of the Holy Ghost, and we're multiplied. Souls are won, the gospel goes forward, and people are being reached. So there is a settling that happens as edification is happening within the body. All of that I give to you for foundation. Remember what I said. People are... There you go, Michael. Idiots. Okay? So a little pastoral counsel to you tonight. Just a little pastoral counsel. We're commanded to edify one another, but sometimes we hurt one another. We're commanded to lift one another up and to build one another up, and sometimes we tear one another down. I cannot prevent all tearing down inside the church. I can't do that. That's Greek for I'm wrestling with the Lord right now, right? Pastor, do we have idiots inside Plantation Baptist Church? You're looking at one. Pastor, you can't be an idiot. Let me tell you something. There are times that I come into this place and maybe I'm not spirit-filled that day or I'm not where I should be that day and I do something idiotic and I can hurt people. People are people, man. And it's a shame, but it happens. And people come low in their self-esteem, suffering in their emotion, hopeless, dealing with a negative kind of an energy here as far as a lack of vision, driven by these feelings that got them in the toilet and discouraged beyond belief. And they come inside the church and they need somebody to build them up and they run into somebody that tears them down. Right? Right. Can't prevent that always. That's why, and Paul understood this. This is why Acts chapter 20 is so important. Now come back to Acts chapter 20. When you come to Acts chapter 20, when you look at verse number 17, Paul has called a meeting of all of these pastors. And Paul is giving these pastors a last will and testament and encouragement. If you come down to verse number 25, Paul lets them know, now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So this is a very difficult time for these pastors. They have been following the leadership of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul understands that he's on his way to Rome. He understands he's on his way to God's plan for his life. He knows he's not going to be there to encourage them face to face. He knows he's not going to be there to hug their neck. He knows he's not going to be there as a strength and a stability to them. And I want to stop right here. Paul knows this. Sometimes God's people can look to God's people for encouragement instead of looking to God for encouragement. And our eyes get shifted on the pastor, or they get shifted on somebody in the pew, or they get shifted to a brother or a sister or somebody like this. And really and truthfully, we kind of live or die by that treatment, and we're encouraged by that treatment. And God forbid that relationship ever go negative. The wound is so deep that it has the ability to deflate where we are. Now, Paul knows they're not going to see my face anymore. Not only does he know that, look at verse number 28. Verse number 28, he knows wolves are coming. He knows that attack is coming. As you read down in verse number 29, that grievous wolves enter in among you. They're going to be trying to draw away disciples after that. And Paul knows that not only is his absence going to be difficult, he knows there's going to be an attack. And he wants them to know sustained victory. He wants them to know sustained edifying and encouragement. So come, if you would please, to verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. But those days are over. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able, finish to that comma, please, build you up. So here's really my whole lesson, and get it down in this sentence, and I'm going to reinforce it with one other part of the thing. Very simple tonight. There are times in your life when it will be only God who has the ability to build you up. There will be times in your life when it's only God. You might be used to a person. You might be used to the pastor. You might be used to somebody. But my friends, you cannot supplement that or substitute that for God. And there's going to be times that humans are going to let you down. There's going to be times that you're going to face difficult situations in your life when humanly I don't have the words to give you. I don't know what to say. We don't know what the wisdom. We lack in our ability. There will be time when it's only God that has the ability to build you up. And if you don't understand that those times will be there, and if you don't know how to let God build you up, then you'll know low self-esteem. There's times that only God's going to be able to raise your esteem. There's times that only God's going to be able to help you with your emotion. There's times that only God's going to be able to help you with your encouragement. There's going to be times that only God's going to be able to help you with your feelings. Yes, the church is supposed to do this. Yes, your pastor is able to do this. Yes, we are commanded to do this. But there are times when it's only going to be God. If you've ever been there, say amen. Amen. And if you don't understand that, you're going to suffer tremendously. Paul knew, I'm leaving. And I've preached to them, man. I've built them up. But they've got to understand that the sustainability of that has got to be now God. God is going to have to be the one. And God is the one that is able to build you up. So a person who complains that they're nothing, or a person who entertains thoughts of low self-esteem or of low worth, or a person who entertains thoughts of negativity, or you entertain these things, then that is a person who doesn't understand who God is, and they don't understand how God looks at them, or how God views them, or how God is able to build them up. And so instead of turning to God to be strengthened and to be built up, they turn deep, dark places within their mind. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. A Christian's mind can go to the darkest places an unbeliever's mind can go. They can. Well, Pastor, how does God build me up? Oh, I was hoping you would think that. Look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the, say those three words, word of his grace. Oh. You mean the Bible, right? I do. Oh. No, that's too simple. Oh, wait a minute. We practiced that. No, that's the word of God. Pastor, you're telling me that that book has the ability to build me up? No, I'm not telling you that. God's telling you that. And what happens is we get into these places of defeat, and it seems like we go to the new Bible, Google. Why do I feel sad? You feel sad because blah, 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 blah. Or we go to the world's philosophy when we ought to go to the one who made us. And so now we're entertaining these things, and they do have some ability to build me up, but they lack a foundation of the eternal word of God. So Paul says this, preacher, remember that I'm commending you to God, and through his word, in the name of his word, has the ability to edify you, to build you and strengthen you and to keep you and to lift you. Boy, how they needed that, because they had much work to be done. To my sulkers, to those of you who feel negative and worthless and low, you ought to get in this Bible and find out what God thinks about you. You ought to get in this Bible and read about how God loves you. You ought to read and get in this Bible and let the living word of God lift you. My people that are bad, that most of the time when people come in and they see me, and I sense deflation in them, I ask them this one question. Are you in the Word? No. Why are you not in the Word? Doesn't work. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. I tried that. Pastor, No. God, through his Word, is able to build you up. Why would you turn from that? Come if you would, please. God help me here. Proverbs 24. Come to Proverbs 24. I'll end with Proverbs 24. What I didn't tell you is I need every verse of that chapter to end on. Proverbs 24. This is Solomon writing to his boy, right? I want to just pull some thoughts out of here real quickly that really and truthfully, I think you'll be able to see the mindset that Paul, that Solomon is after. To his son in verse number 1. Be not thou, what's that word? You know, I find that people that are deflated are envious. They're envious because somebody else has got something different. They're envious because they think somebody else has a greater life. They're envious because somebody else they think has better opportunity, or they were created better, or they look different, or they have this or whatever. And they just they're just drowned in envy. Be not thou envious. Here it was against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, their lips talk of mischief. Now here's what he wants his boy to know. Verse number 3. Through, say it, class. is an house what? There's our word. That's edification. That's building up. This is Solomon teaching his boy, listen, through wisdom, a house is builded. In the New Testament, that word build and equip is literally to build a house. And so what is Solomon saying? Solomon is saying that wisdom is so important to the building process. It's so important to the edifying process. Well, we know from the book of Proverbs, we know from the book of 1 Corinthians that wisdom personified as Christ. We know that the word of God is wisdom. He says through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is what? Established, strengthened. I'm finding that people's biblical understanding is so wordless and so small that they can't take the Bible and defend the thoughts of their mind. So when their mind tells them that nobody loves them or gives a rip about them, they can't take the Bible and say that God loves me. When their mind tells them that they're worthless, they can't say, yeah, but the Son of God gave his life for me. When the mind tells them all this negativity, they can't defend that with the word of God. So what do they try to defend it with? They try to defend it with everything but the word of God, but there's only power in the word of God. So I'm listening to the mindset as people are explaining to me this, and I'm thinking, the Bible says. They can't take and defend that. Then you're going to get gutted, man. You're going to get gutted. Verse number 4. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is what, class? Strong. This is what the word of God does. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. In the multitude of counselors there is safety. This is what the Bible is able to do. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin. The scorner is an abomination to men. Why would you want to go after the world's philosophy? If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. Listen. God's people should not be fainting in the day of adversity. We ought to be faithing in the day of adversity. You know I'm preaching to you. I don't know who you are, but I know you're out there. And you're sitting there, and you know exactly what it is to be deflated in your mind. You know exactly what it is to think negative thoughts about yourself. You know exactly what it is to have a pity party. You know it is exactly what it is that you need to be built up tonight and encouraged. Well, I'm telling you this. People will let you down. God will never let you down. You have to learn that it is God that is able to lift you, and he will lift you through his word. It's not too simple. It's the power of the word of God. Amen. Let's go home.